we go. Good morning. I was so happy that Nathan asked me to come and speak to you today. Let's just go from the top. I'm going to start out with a quiz. Who remembers what Whitney said my name was? Go ahead, say it out loud. Wow. All right. I heard a lot, and then I saw a few. Oh, all right. Yes, I am Shelly Kuchar, and I am from the Springfield area, and I am the children's minister at Lakeside Christian Church. But most importantly, I am mother to Whitney, mother-in-law to Nathan, and grandma to Natalie. So yeah, Nathan asked me to come and speak about identity, and the first thing I thought of was, just like I asked you what my name was, I thought of those moments in the grocery store, okay? You're doing your thing in the grocery store, and all of a sudden somebody comes up and says, "Hey, Shelly!" And your mind goes blank, right? Your mind goes blank. You cannot think of that person's name, no matter what you do, right? You can't think of their name. And because you can't think of their name, you can't think where you know them from. Is it school? Is it work? Where do I know this person from? And all you can do is say, "Hey there," and hope they don't stay to talk, right? Well, the name tag is what I thought of when Nathan was talking about this series on identity. The name tag, just a simple name written on a name tag, gives everybody your identity that reads your name tag, right? They get a little piece of you. They know your name, right? So this name tag could have saved me so much heartache in the grocery store. If I'd just known that person's name, then I would have known all the pieces. Oh yeah, that's Julie. I know her from church. She has three kids and da 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 da. Identity is important. So what I want you to do is I want you to look at this name tag. Now, think about, what would you write on this name tag if I asked you to write one name that covers your whole identity? Does anybody want to tell me what they'd write on there for their identity? All right, so we could have some that would say, we could say mom, right? Because it's Mother's Day. Mom, dad, family identities. Dad, husband, wife, those are all family identities. And then there's identities we have which are our professions, right? Like doctor, policeman, lawyer, boss, employee. And then there's just some that are relationships, right? You are a friend. You are trustworthy. You are funny. You are a leader. Those are all identities. But the most important identity is child of God. When someone says, "Jesus, I'm going to follow you with my life," and decides to follow Jesus, child of God is on that name tag. And child of God is the most important thing on that name tag, because it affects everything else, right? So about 10 years ago, I had a crisis, okay? And I'm going to be sharing with you about this crisis in my life. This crisis made me question my identity. It made me question my identity to the core. It made me question child of God. So that's what I wanted to talk to you about today. So we're going to start at the very beginning, okay? So I grew up in a family, that went to church every Sunday. Every Sunday we went to church. If it was Sunday, our family was in church. And so I grew up, Sundays I went to church, Monday through Friday I went to school, Saturdays I hung out with my friends. God's day was Sunday, okay? God's day was Sunday. That's when I did my thing with God. The rest of the week was mine to do as I pleased. In high school, I met people who had a relationship with God. I met people who had a relationship with God all week long. Everything they did tied back to God and what God would have them to do. And I realized I didn't have that relationship, and I wanted that relationship. And just like you guys are so blessed here, my church, I had adults all around me that as soon as I said, I want a relationship with God, they showed me what it meant to surrender myself to God and say, Jesus, I want to follow you with my life. And I took on the name tag of Child of God. Okay, so then we'll move up ahead a bit, and this is the beginning of how Whitney came to be right here. This is me in the Tin Grin Is In t-shirt right there, and this is Whitney's dad down here, Troy. 1982, we met at camp, and he slid me a little note under the camp table and asked me to campfire. And the rest was history, all right? So from 1982, then we go to 1989, excuse me. And in 1989, we got married. But it wasn't just a jump to 1989. There was a lot of breaking up and getting back together, you know, all that drama. And then we also had to make it through a long distance relationship for years and years. But we made it, and we became husband and wife. And it was great. Our love was great. We were best friends, and we were dedicated to God together. And we had faith that God was going to protect our marriage. So then, ta-da, we have kids. We had kids. This is Whitney right here in her glory days. Whitney and Jacob, they are our two kids. And we loved our family. We have such a great family, and we have so, so many memories. If you ever catch Whitney, just ask her about all of my photo albums. I have photo albums and photo albums of all the great memories we had as a family. And so I was so happy to put Mom on my name tag, right? I was happy to be a mom. And Troy and I were dedicated to showing our kids who Jesus was and what it meant to follow Jesus. And we as a family were so thankful. We thanked God for our family all of the time. And that brings me to 2013. In 2013, I woke up one morning and I found Troy unable to move and looking at me with eyes of terror. He couldn't move, and his eyes, you could just see the fear in his eyes. We called 911, we got him to the hospital, and we found out that he'd had a brain aneurysm. And from the bleeding on the brain, it paralyzed the right side of his body, and it affected his speech, and it affected his thinking. In an instant, my title of wife changed. I was no longer a partner. I was a caregiver. Troy couldn't walk on his own. Troy couldn't do most tasks on his own. So I helped him with all of those. And then I took on all the tasks of the house. I couldn't lean on Troy anymore because he needed my help constantly. So I had to lean on God. And God got us through so much in that year. He got us through tears. He got us through so many hospital visits. He got us through therapy sessions. He got us through Troy losing his job. He got us through mountains and mountains of bills. And our family stuck together, and we continued making beautiful memories. Now, this is one of my favorite memories of all. If Whitney was in the room, she'd be tearing up right now. This is Whitney and Nathan's wedding, and this is the father-daughter dance at the wedding. Troy wasn't able to stand up and dance with Whitney, so Whitney sat on his lap in the wheelchair, and they had their dance. And this was a beautiful memory, and I thank God so much for this memory. But just 1 month after Whitney and Nathan got married, Troy died. And my story I want to tell you today, I want to be very truthful with you today. When Troy passed away, I was torn apart. I questioned everything, and I was mad at God. I couldn't trust God because God let this happen, okay? Have you ever been there? God let this happen. And I couldn't see how God was a good father because he let this happen. So, I want you to think today, have you ever felt like your life has been destroyed? Just like I talked about. Have you ever felt like, okay, that's it, game over. Life is over, right? Have you ever felt that way? Maybe you've lost someone that you love. Maybe you've lost the job that gives you the possibility to have the life you lead. Or maybe you've gotten that diagnosis from the doctor where you don't know what tomorrow is. I want you to keep listening to how God got me through this time. Now, I'm going to show you a verse, and I'm not saying this is a bad verse. I'm saying that in the time, it was hard for me to hear. So many people would come to me after Troy passed away, and they would recite this verse to me. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I didn't like this verse when anybody would tell me this. Because number one, God has a different definition of good than I do. Because good isn't losing my husband. Okay? And the other part that was hard for me is, well, maybe I'm not called. Maybe I'm not in his goodness. And so this would leave me questioning everything. Well, like I said earlier, I am a children's minister, and I was a children's minister at that time. And so I continued digging into the Bible because I was teaching these kids every week. Well, one of the people that really stood out to me was Naomi in the book of Ruth. Naomi was a child of God, okay? The beginning of her story, she was a child of God. She had a husband. She had two sons. They moved away to a foreign land, and her sons got married. So she was a mother-in-law. But this verse right here, she has come back to her hometown of Bethlehem. And her husband is gone, he died, and her two sons have died. And this is what she says, "Don't call me Naomi," she told them, "call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me, the Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." I read this, and I gotta say, I kind of cheered. I could relate to this lady, okay? And I could see what she was saying. She said, "Don't call me Naomi." In Bible times, Naomi meant pleasant. So sure, Naomi was pleasant when she had a husband and when she had two sons. I'm sure she was very pleasant when her sons got married. She was a mother-in-law. But now she was coming back home. And she said, "Call me Mara." And Mara means bitter. Naomi was bitter, right? And we know that she was bitter at God because she says, "The Lord has brought me back empty. And the Lord has afflicted me. And he has brought misfortune upon me." She was mad, right? She was not happy with where she was in her life. And it was God's fault. Well, that's the thing is, this is only chapter one of Ruth, okay? If you've never read the book of Ruth, you need to read the book of Ruth. If you like the Hallmark Channel, you really need to read the book of Ruth, because Ruth is her daughter-in-law. And Ruth comes back with Naomi to Bethlehem, and she works hard to provide for her mother-in-law and for herself. And then there's a beautiful love story, okay? Ruth falls in love. She gets married, and she has a son. And Naomi is now a grandmother. So this is at the end of Ruth, and this is what the ladies in her village said, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you without a family redeemer today. May his name become well known in Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. Indeed, your daughter-in-law, who loves you and is better to you than seven sons, has given birth to him. Now, that was the thing in these days, was Naomi's husband passed away, her two sons passed away, so there were no grandchildren to keep the family line. But there was a thing called the family redeemer, and that family redeemer was somebody took on the task of producing a family line for the family. And that's what Ruth's husband did. Ruth and her husband had a son. Naomi became a grandma, and not only was her family line continued, out of her family line comes King David, and then Jesus. So Naomi, when she came back from Bethlehem, thought her life was over. She was bitter at how it all went down. But by the end, she has a new family line, and that family line is going to produce Jesus. God still had a plan. Another person in the Bible that I connected with through all of this was Jesus himself. Jesus had just done the Lord's Supper. He'd done the Last Supper with his disciples. He knew it was almost time for him to die on the cross. He took some of his disciples out, and they were going to pray in the garden. He had them wait while he went a little farther, and he's praying to his God, to his Father, right before he's taken to be crucified. And he says, "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me." Okay? So Jesus here, first he says, "Abba, Father." And Abba is the Aramaic word for father. So he's repeating it twice. Father, Father. He's holding on tightly to that relationship he has with God as his father. He's holding on to that relationship with God because he knows his God loves him more than anything. But he's holding on to that love as he asks God, "Take this cup from me." Now, the word for cup back then meant your fate, okay? It meant what was going to happen in your life. So if you grew up and became a doctor, that was your cup, okay? Now, Jesus was born to be the savior of the world, right? So his cup was to die on a cross for us. And here it shows you that he's asking him, "Come on, isn't there some other way?" But the cup doesn't just mean his fate. In Revelation, we see that it also means God remembered Babylon the Great and gave her the cup filled with the wine of the fury of his wrath. Okay, this cup was his anger towards the sin of Babylon. And we've just talked about the fact that Jesus' cup, his fate was to die on the cross. But he was dying on the cross and taking our sins to the cross. So he was also facing the cup of God's wrath. He was going to face his Father's anger at the cross. So that made me start thinking. I'd never looked at Jesus' life like this before. I'd read it and read it, but I always thought he just went to the cross, right? But right here it tells me he struggled. If it was his way, this is not what he wanted to do, right? He's asking the Father to change the plan. What if Jesus had been like me, right? And said, "Nope, that's too hard. I can't do it." Or what if Jesus had said, "If that's a father's love to put me through that, I don't want anything to do with this." What if Jesus had said that? Well, that's the thing. That's not the end of his prayer. "Yet not what I will, but what you will." And that part hit me hard. He was choosing God's will over his own. Jesus was willing to do whatever no matter how bad it was, he was willing to do whatever the God said was best. And I had to look at my life, and I was so bitter. There was no way I was going to trust God's will anymore. But I was also in the Bible, and I was seeing all these people. I was seeing Naomi, who lost her sons and her husband. And I saw Moses, who was taken from his family early in life, and then he ran away to a foreign land for years and years and years. I saw Joseph, who was sold into slavery. And I saw Job, who lost everything. And I saw the disciples, who were tortured, who were killed. And I saw Jesus who died on the cross. And all of those people kept child of God on their name tag. They trusted God through all of that. But my bitterness was not letting me go there. So another verse that really helped me was John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I had believed all my life that, okay, I decided to follow Jesus. My husband follows Jesus. Our family follows Jesus. I believed in a big bubble over our family, that pain wasn't going to come in, that evil wasn't going to come in, that we were protected. I'm not saying God doesn't protect. I'm just saying that Jesus tells us here that we will have trouble, okay? And Jesus is saying, hold on, but take heart. I have overcome the world, just like we just talked about. He died on the cross for us. He beat death. I will endure. So he was telling me that if I could just do this, I could endure the pain and be with God forever. I needed to endure the pain and be with God forever. So then another one that hit me hard was Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. All those pretty words of rest and easy and peaceful, those sounded great, but the word that stuck out to me was yoke, okay? I've always been a stubborn person, okay? And in this season of my life, the last thing I wanted to do was to be yoked to God. That looked like submission to me, and I didn't want any part of that. But the other side of what a yoke really is a yoke is what a farmer puts animals into, right? So more than one animal can pull the load. And the yoke was actually created because the farmer cared for the animals. The farmer knew the animal couldn't pull the load that needed to be pulled. So he would make the yoke so the load could be shared. So the yoke, yes, it was submission, but it was also a loving act. And God was showing me I needed to surrender, right? I had a choice to make. I could stay being bitter and trying to do this all on my own, but it was really heavy and it was really hard, and the bitterness was going through everything. Or I could surrender to God. I could trust in what I'd always trusted in. So it wasn't an easy process, but I did. I took back on child of God. And I'm here today to tell you that God lifted my bitterness. God lifted my bitterness, and I was able to see good. While the bitterness was there, I was blind to good. I could not see the good. But I could see the good when God lifted that. I could see that I got 30 years with Troy. I could see that my kids, because they were born early, they got to have their father through their teen years. I got to see that Nathan got to ask Troy for Whitney's hand in marriage before his aneurysm even happened. And most of all, I could see that God surrounded me with family. God surrounded me with friends because he knew Troy was going to die. And I found hope. All of a sudden, I could see that God still had a plan for me and that I had hope for the future. And I do have hope for the future. Because of all of that, I can see that I have a family. I have a huge family, and I love them so much. And because of that healing, I have a husband that I love so much. I have a second chance at being a wife. And all of that is to say, don't give up. And the most important, well, not the most important, but one of the greatest pieces of the happiness I have now is Natalie. Have you seen this girl? I think you've seen her around a little bit. She's pretty cool. And I thank God that I get to see her. And I thank God for the relationship that I have with my daughter through it all. So my question for you today is pain what you have on your name tag? Is pain something you're dealing with today? Is it hard to trust God? Is it hard to say, okay, I'm going to trust a God who let this happen? Maybe you're a longtime follower of Jesus. Maybe you've followed Jesus all your life, but now you're questioning, this hurts. How can I trust God when he lets this hurt? Or maybe you have never followed Jesus, but your load is really heavy. I'm here to tell you to trust God. You can trust him. You can take on his yoke, okay? You can say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you with my life. He is waiting for you. Jesus was waiting for me the whole time I struggled through, and he's waiting for you just the same. He has a plan for you. And the verse that is your series for the month is, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here. If you have pain today, the new is waiting. If you have bitterness today, the new is waiting. Jesus is waiting. The most important name on your name tag is Child of God. Everything else is small. Child of God changes everything. You can trust him. You can trust him. Life is going to be hard, but you can trust him. He has a plan, and he will see you through. So I just ask you today that if you're struggling, just take a minute, talk to God about it. And if it's time to follow Jesus, I support you 100%. Do it. Follow Jesus. He has a plan for you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for today, Lord, and I thank you for the hope that you have for us. Lord, life is hard and it's painful. And Lord, it's hard to trust you sometimes. But Lord, I just pray for whoever out there today. I pray that you will give them the strength to look to you and ask you to come into their lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.